Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Keep believing. What no man can do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And for that matter, there is none that can do what our God can do. Don't put your trust in man. I don't care who they are. Don't put your trust in any man. They will not rise up to the occasion, or woman. No president, no authority, no power, not in anywhere can do what our God can do. Some people say, if this person is there, my life will be better. Put that trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody will change your life.
Amen.
It is only God that can do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I encourage us to put our trust in the Lord. Nobody will be in authority and make impactful changes on your life. Only God can do that. Therefore, rely on God's grace. Trust in his everlasting hands. Amen. Let us quickly do the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Blessed Assurance.
Oh, what a
hands together for the Lord, everybody. Father, we come before you this morning, bringing our thanksgiving. A new day, a new hour, Lord, before you. And thank you for your blessed goodness upon us throughout last week. And thank you for this week we've entered. Even as we hear your word, bring your blessings upon it, Lord. That, Father, it shall help us to grow. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. We pray that our story will be, at the end of the day, that the Lord has done it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have a desire. We have something all of us are working towards too. So this morning, we're going to talk about the Christian journey. The Christian journey. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's open our Bible to Acts of Apostles, chapter 11, verse 26. Acts of Apostles, 11:26. Acts 11:26. And when he had found them, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. Amen. Hallelujah. They were called for the first time. They coded us with that name, and that name will endure in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Christians first in Antioch, the follower of Christ Jesus. The followers of Christ Jesus, those that follow Christ, the way that Christ has taught us. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if we ask today who is a Christian, especially in America, everybody practically raised their hand. You ask them to go further into, oh, my dad was a Christian, my mom was a Christian, or I grew up in a Christian family. Great. How do you practice your Christianity? When last were you in a church? It's been a while, no? What do you do as a Christian? Nothing? No. There is a journey that Christ has called us onto. There is a pattern to it. There is a pattern in being a Christian. And you have to follow it to measure up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This morning, I want to invite everybody who might be listening at this point or may listen in time to come. I invite you to embark on this journey, to come and join me and taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. The journey of being a Christian is a journey that has a beginning, that started at the cross of Calvary, that Jesus Christ brought salvation to mankind, to as many as we believe in him. He gave this power to be what? Children of sons of God. And that journey will transition into eternal life. And that is the hope we have. That this journey, this process, this way we have chosen, will take us to a greater and enduring eternal life, where all these worldly sorrows will not be felt again. Our trials, our afflictions in this veil of sorrow will be gone forever. But for us to make it from that step one to the transition, there is a big gap. There is a big gap From the day you say, I have given my life to Christ, or you gave your life to Christ, to the day that you will transition into eternal life. There is going to be a lot of challenges. You will be tested. You have to contest, to stand, to come through, to overcome in that journey. In fact, I tell you, the enemy will contest every single mile of that journey. Let's assume you are walking from here to your house. And every mile you are facing the enemy challenge, that is how it's going to be. Some define this Christian journey as pilgrimage. John Bunyan, in the Pilgrim Progress, gave a pictorial view of what a Christian journey could be like. From the day that journey started to the time of overcoming is fraught with challenges. It's fraught with many pitfalls. It's fraught with many trials. But one thing we can be sure is that he who have called us is able to see us through. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. It is not a journey designed for you to go on it alone. It is not a journey that he who started it in you intend for you to fail along the way. No. He that called you intend to see you through this Christian journey so that you can inherit a crown of life. Amen. But you must be ready to fight the good fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. And he knew that he has won the race already. And now he waits for the crown of life, which God has promised them that will endure to the end. Now we are seeing around us this day the road stacked with those who have given up, who have thrown in the towels. I pray that that will never be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For God's grace will help you to go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. But it is not without its challenges. The Christian journey is not an easy one. Anybody who will stand here to tell you it was easy, I'm not sure that they are living a Christian life. It is a journey that you, when you make that effort to take it, you have to really get up. You have to really be willing to go through the process. And that process, be assured that the Holy Spirit, the enabler, will always be by your side. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. It was Jacob who said, the days of my pilgrimage, he was telling to Pharaoh, are this and this. If you know what pilgrimage is, in the days that they go to pilgrim, somebody will decide to go. It's a journey of sanctification. They go through and say, I'm going to go to this holy place or that holy place. And there is certain quality, certain characteristics, certain demand that is made of the person going. Some of them can go barefoot for hundreds of miles. Some of them can choose to go. If they go every 20 miles, they whip themselves or whatever. That is human being ways of going it. They call it pilgrimage. A journey of a process that is designed to bring sanctification or purification or some desire at the end of the journey. So, in our pilgrimage, in this Christian journey, know one thing, good, wise people that lived before us and still living or has been lived with us said, and one of them being Solomon said, that of all the endeavors of mankind, of all the works that I've seen under the sun, and his testimony was that God has given him resources to try everything. He tasted it. Everything that you can think of, he said, whatever my heart desired, I gave unto it. But at the end of the day, he made a conclusion that the only profitable thing for mankind in this life is a quest for eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. A quest, a journey, a process to eternal life. And then Jesus Christ also emphasized on this, say, What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his very own soul? Nothing. So I want to encourage us that though this journey might be hard, though the process might be challenging, though at times you may feel like throwing up and see those who have given up or throwing the towel, as the saying goes, I want to encourage us to stand firm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do not give up on this work of eternal life. Do not yield to the temptation to throw in towel. If you fall, rise up again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If the enemy push you down or you push yourself down, go to something and climb up and keep walking. For there is a day that is coming. Amen. From glory to glory, say, he leadeth us. Amen. And that day is coming when we can look behind and say, it is done. That God has done it in our life. A Christian journey is such that I can say it is not inherited. Your papa does not pass it over to you, neither does your money pass it over, your mother pass it over to you. It is not inherited, it is something that you have to make a decision for yourself. Do I want to be in this journey, Christian journey? Do I want to be part of this experience? It's a profession. In every profession, you find people, maybe it is lawyer, maybe it is doctor, maybe it is engineer, maybe it is accounting, maybe it is IT. There is courses they give you. Any profession you want, there is a definite course they will give you to follow, study. For you to major, you have to have this one. 101, maybe G2, 102, or whatever it is in that particular way, you have to pass them along the way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So it is a journey that is your decision, and you have to make that decision knowing that there's a process to it, and we're going to go into it this morning. The process of Christian journey. It's not inherited. Your grandfather is not a, I can pass some money to you. They can give you money they have built up or whatever if they have inheritance for you. But the Christian journey is a walk you have to walk alone with the Holy Spirit towards God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. It is not permanent in the sense that some people say, once I become a child of God, once I give my life to Christ, it is permanent. No, it is not. You can fail in any class you started to take. You can be on your first year or second year or third year and you decide to pack up and don't study again. You're not going to get the certificate at the end of the day because what? You did not complete your course. But I pray that that shall not be our portion in Jesus' name. That we will run, fight the good fight of faith unto the end and inherit that crown. But Christian journey has to be a process. And so many of us start it, okay, well, that's a good idea. It's like a business. Yeah, okay, it's a profession. Okay, whatever. And you say, okay, I'm going to embark on this today. And so in the first year, maybe God's grace is abundance. Everything seems rosy. And then in the second year, persecution comes. And so on, and trials start coming. And affliction is, what have I gotten myself into here? And there is a pattern that you are asked to follow. Say, when they slap you in one place, turn the other cheek. My God, that is hard. Before, I used to punch back and get my own back. Now you don't do it. They say, when they curse you, you say, bless them. What kind of thing is that? The enemy start piling up all this doubt that this journey is hard. I say in the beginning, and I say it again, it is fraught with a lot of dangers, hardship. But if you have your eyes towards the goal, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Then you are an overcomer already. So it is not permanent. You have to work to keep through it. You have to work to make sure that you got to the end of the line. If you don't get to the end of the line, you are not going to receive the mark. It is like the work of a professional soldier. You have to be able to endure to the end. And to be able to receive the promises of God in that end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I have made a lot of good decisions in life. At times I do what Psalm 90 says, I look at my life. I check back and see where I have made a lot of mistakes and where I have made some good decisions. But the greatest decision I made is when I gave my life in that school, equivalent of high school, many years ago, that some people said, you have your heart of Jesus. I was going to church, but I have not had the experience of walking with Christ. That was the greatest decision I've ever made. I've been blessed with so many things in life. God has blessed me abundantly in all things. To him be the glory. But the greatest blessing I can testify to anybody who is listening today, to anybody who will listen, is that Jesus Christ came to my life. Amen? That is the greatest testimony I have or will ever have. Amen? You can say, if you want, come to me and I give you my reasons. I have nothing else that can give me eternal life. I have nothing else that can wipe away my tears at the end of the journey. I have nothing else that can bring joy, that bring peace, that bring victory in the midst of circumstances beyond my control or things that is heaped on me as mankind. The Jesus Christ that came into my life brought some light. He brought sunshine. He brought so many things that there is no comparison. There is nothing that can give you that euphoria that can match it if you come to understand, if you come to walk with Christ in have a relationship with him. Is somebody I can call in the morning? I can call in the afternoon? I can call in the night? He does not ever turn off his phone on me. Anytime I ring, he picks it up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is part of the joy of the victory we have if you come to know Jesus Christ. But that part is fraught with, as I said, with so many, 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 many challenges. But as the saying says, Christians do not seek repose. In other words, do not relax. You have a journey, and that journey is fraught with challenges, and you have a fight, but God will help you to win it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, when somebody becomes a Christian, because as I said, many people call me a Christian, or I call myself a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, what are the things that, what makes up a Christian? What are the course of study that you need to take to pass, to be qualified in the process of being a Christian? I looked at them, I said there were about 7 important areas. There are a lot of more than that, but there's, I'll take it just slowly, a few minutes on each one of them. But these 7 things have to manifest in the life of a Christian for you to call yourself a Christian. It has to show. It has to be practical, not hidden. Now, you can come to church and call yourself a Christian and may not be a Christian. You can even be such a nice, wonderful person, but that does not make you a Christian. The first step of being a Christian is that you have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you have to confess before him and declare to him that from today, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And my sins of the past, wash it away with your blood. Because in a marriage union, see people dating for years, they're hanging around, they do all this stuff, but they are not really married. Until one day they stand before the preacher or whoever is doing it, and they say, and they state maybe a ring or vow or whatever, and say, today, then something chemical, spiritual, happens. From that hour, whatever you were before, the two becomes one. Whatever you were before was put away. God forbid the man dies, you can inherit their position. Or the woman, the other way around. But it will not happen if it happens a minute before, because what? There was no marriage. There's no contractual agreement. The same thing with you and Christ. Until that day you confess and say, Lord, I accept you into my heart as my Lord and Savior, then you are now in Christ and Christ in you. And the nature of Christ will now have to manifest in your life as evidence of your Christianity. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The evidence, the key attribute of Christian nature will now have to manifest. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now you are in Christ. Now you are in the marriage. Now you are joined together as one. Before, you are just friends or fancy or whatever it's called. But you are not the same. But the day you say, I do and I do, you are roped in. You are in there. If any man now be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Don't think you are going to agree more here before because of that. No. That's not it. Or male, handsome, or whatever, and so on and so forth. The point that he says is a new creation. There's something that will happen inside you, internally, in your soul, in your spirit, that will make you a new creation. I always like to use one woman's testimony. She used to fight a lot. In those places, they live face me and face you kind of apartment. You walk out, you are seeing your neighbor, and everybody just came. And she used to be a terror for everybody. When she opens her door, other people run away. Very strong, beat up anybody who makes noise and stuff. And then suddenly one day she gave her life to Christ. And when she gave her life to Christ, she started greeting everybody, doesn't fight with everybody. For God's sake, she's smiling. And people say, what is going on? Nobody even want to find out. But it continues. Then the people she has been picking on, fighting, decided to, okay, maybe she's no more strong or something has happened to her, whatever it is. They started picking on her, started fighting her. And wonderful thing happened. She didn't fight back. Until one person asked her, what happened? What happened to you, mama, whoever? Why are you become nice? Why are you no more fighting? Why are you no more terrorizing? Why are you no more beating every? He said, because I made Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If any man be in Christ or woman be in Christ, is a new creation. All things, your nature, because we inherited nature that is vulgar, the sin that was in us was kind of endemic. It was part of us. He said, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, you have a new life. You have a new outlook. Your attitude, your testimony, your actions, your visions in life, your purpose in life has taken a new dimension. There's a paradigm shift that wasn't there before. Your goal is now heaven-oriented. Your destination is somewhere beyond this world. You may walk through this world. You definitely will pass through world. You will face the challenges every mile of the way. But you have a destination. That destination is what? Eternal life. That is where your goal is. Some of the courses you need to take is course of love. 101. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John 4, verse 16. The book of 1 John. 4:16, please. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And we have known and have believed the love that God has for to us. You say what? God is what? Love. And he who dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You see, walking in love is the number one pillar of our journey to eternal life. And it is not easy because things will happen to challenge the evidence of love in your love, in your life. People will say or do the wrong things. The enemy will try to take away that love in you. In fact, I've seen people who may wear shirts that say, I hate all people. T-shirt, boldly written. I didn't know that that thing was in the Bible. One of them said, and then below he said, all men are liars. I said, what do you mean all men are liars? It's in the Bible. Say, but it's not the way you thought about it that God is speaking about it. Say, well, that's what I found out. Therefore, I hate all men. Well, God help you. So people have this character in them that tend to move away from love because of bad experiences in life. To walk in love, to walk in forgiveness, to walk in the nature of Christ. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. Simple and short. If you don't walk in love, if you don't practice the walk of love, you don't practice the things that is endowed in love, then you are not part of Christ Jesus. Now, this is a message of himself. You can preach the message of love for the next 1 year. But what is love? It is taking the nature of God. He who knew no sin became sin for me and for you. That greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay even his own very life for his friend. 1 Corinthians 13 starts to tell us about the qualities of love. It does not inhabit bitterness. It does not judge. It does not have acrimony in it. This and that and so on. You start seeing, you can go and read them yourself. But love is what you have to show others to show that you are a Christian, to prove that you're a Christian. If you cannot show love, then you are not in the Lord. You are not in God. For God, again, we say, is love. God is love. God equals to love. And he who is in God, in Christ, is equals to love because God is in you. He cannot manifest a different nature. Love comes with forgiveness. One of the hardest parts of love, forgiveness. Especially when people have been mean, annoying to you. And God made it not particularly easy. At times you have to seek even people who have wronged you. At times you have to pray for them. At times you have to do something extra. More than that. To show the love of Christ. And then they may even laugh. Look at him, look at her. It's weak. But you are proving what? That you are a Christian. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. He said that in this love, you have to practice being rooted and grounded in it. In Ephesians 3:17. Thank you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Mixed up so much that there can be separation. That nature that shows kindness to others. That nation that is not cruel to others. That nature that is hoping for the best in others. That nation that moves jealousy out of the way and wish the best for others. A nation that will take others and treat them like the way you want to be treated. That is just some quotings of love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Another quality is humility. We spoke about last few weeks ago. A Christian has to learn to be like Christ in this area too. The humility that is in Christ, we have to manifest. We preached a message on it just about 2-3 weeks ago. But you have to learn to be humble, to honor all men, to treat all men like you also want to be treated. And not being puffed up by your own design of who you are, your own self-importance. Remember the quote we have in that message, where that man says that the beginning of greatness is to be little. And then the upload, the increase of that greatness is even to be smaller. But the perfection of it is to be nothing. Therefore, Bible said about Christ, he who is king in heaven, ruling over angels, become nothing, took upon himself the cross, and so humbled himself that what happened, he received a promotion, that God has now exalted his name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Christians who are poofed off and full of themselves, go check your Christian stand. Some people say, oh, well, I fasted 40 days. I know the Bible from A to Z already like 10 times. God has blessed me. All everything I have is blessed. My family, my money, my this. And it becomes a source of pride. And so they start to look upon others who may not have fared as well for whatever reason. Because God has smiled on you, every other person seems to be a reject. That is not God. That's not humility. I thank God for the knowledge and for the blessings upon your life. Or you may look at others also and feel for them. The empathy, the love, the concern for the welfare of others. And know that each one of us have a burden, no matter how good we try to say it is. That's a burden on each and every one of us. Your own might be lighter, my own might be heavier. But look upon me also in love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And practice humility when you deal with me, knowing that we are heading to the same destination. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Obedience is another one. You have to, as a Christian, as the one who is trying to practice that nature of Christ, learn to obey God's word. And obeying God's word is not easy. Anybody tell you it is easy is a liar. That word obedience says better than sacrifice. Better than whatever you can give. And God said to Emmanuel, go do this. And you know the word of God is telling you to do it. Some people, when they come to this, they may use different things to lure you in and say, obey. I'm saying obey according to the word of God, not according to the word of man or woman. But obedience to God's word is drawing you closer to God's nature. Because these things we are mentioning, you are not perfect in it, though God sought for us to be perfect. It's a work in progress. It's a work that will take us step one, step two, just like any classes you take. Biology 101, and then you go to 102, and then you go to 103, and then you go to 104. Each step, there's an incremental challenge. But it's taking you through a process to perfection. It may not be there today. You have to suck and work towards it. But if you stop along the way, then you are at a dead end. Obedience is one of the areas that is tough for many of us, especially when we are married. Some people feel like if I do certain things, I'm obeying my wife or vice versa. And in dealing with God, the same thing, and so it becomes that bottleneck situation whereby we say, well, it's not really, look beyond man, look beyond woman, obey the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because when you're obeying the Lord in whatever it is that you are asked to do, you will find that downstream, you are doing the right thing. You don't have to really say, I'm doing it for this person. I am obeying the Lord. So if it means to appeal, to appease, to apologize, to do certain things, it is God you are obeying in that work, not the other person. That your boss, that this person. That is where it connects us to say, do it as unto the Lord. The reason there are so many disobedience in the world today, obedience to what is good, obedience to what is righteous, obedience to law, truthful, law-abiding guidance that God has given or mankind has put into place, is because they feel that they are doing it for person. But if you know you, when you obey, you do the right thing, that it is God you are obeying, then it doesn't matter who is benefiting from it. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, the Bible talk of watching, praying, I'm going to put them together, and fasting, for there are three. Watching. If you don't watch where you are, if you are supposed to have grown in the walk with the Lord, have children. Many of us have children. I watched the TV, I saw some clippings, some videos people post. The first time that the child spoke, came and said, Dada. And everybody was so happy, has his first lesson, they took a picture, they do this, they do that. They are rejoicing. My child just spoke for the first time. Big achievement. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If 20 years down the line, that child is still saying Dada, then something is wrong. So you have to watch your progress also in this journey. If you are not growing as a Christian, if you are not watching in the things of God to see where you are, where can I put up more work? Where can I was talking to my son about his college because I said, well, since you are doing well in this, you are doing well in that, there are challenges in this, there are challenges. Put more effort in the ones you have. Failure in. You can also watch yourself as a Christian. If your work of love is not very well, then you can put more effort. We are learning. Anybody who told you they have perfected or gotten there, they are probably bound to fail or have mistakes because it's a work in process unto that perfect day. So you have to watch yourself and say, hey, watching also means keeping awake spiritually, doing things that keep you awake spiritually, doing things that makes you, motivate you to stay awake. Because a watching person is not sleeping. If you are sleeping, then you cannot watch. You watch the things happening. You watch where God is going. You watch the direction he's taking you to. And you stick to it to his glory in Jesus' mighty name. Praying is also a part of a Christian journey. A Christian must pray. As we said in the beginning, we cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot fight this battle by ourselves. We cannot overcome by ourselves. This journey is not designed for you to do it alone. That is why he said the comforter, the enabler, to help us through in this journey. So when you are carrying this burden, when you are going for it by yourself, when you are taking it all I can do, then you cannot do it. You have to pray to our Father. Christ Jesus laid an example. Say, I need help. Was praying that night before he was crucified. If it's possible, remove this cup, but not my will, but I will be done. Cried. Why did you forsake me? He even said that. So we have to learn to pray as a Christian. And I said, add fasting to it once in a while. Learn the art of fasting. Google it, look at it. Maybe 6 hours, 6 to 12 p.m., maybe 6 to 6, maybe a full 24 hours. Learn the art of fasting. Take that time to read the Word of God. Take that time to pray. Take that time to do good. Use that time as time separated as much as possible. I know we have our busy schedules, our work, our life, and so on. But cut off a time from time to time to wait on the Lord in this area and pray and fast. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Watch, pray, and fast. The sixth one, we are going to the seventh one also. The sixth one is faith. A Christian must learn to walk in faith. I face challenges. I say, I look at what options do I have. And I found out that the only option truly that I have is to take these promises of the Word of God and believe on it. You can then apply other practical options, doing things to fix it and this. But at the end of the day, our victory is in our faith on God's word. Take the promises of the Word of God, latch onto it, and hold onto it. Because he who has promised, without doubt, will not fail. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And last, is holiness, without which none can see God. Now, that's a place that many of us look at holiness. My God, I just failed yesterday. I did something I shouldn't do and so on. How am I going to be? Now, the holiness you have is by Christ. But you also have to walk, like in everything, to be holy. Say, but without which none can see God. Say, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. If God says we can do it, then by his grace we can do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are not to shy away, run away, hide from God's word. Practice these things. If you are used to lying, then curb it. If you are used to cheating, then work on it. If you are used to have bad temper, then say, no, it is not part of childish, child of God nature. If you are used to not praying, then work on your prayer life. If you are used to bitterness, gossiping, hatred, and so on, and so, then work on it. These are the things that move you into that column of holiness. And as I said, there might be some fluctuations. There might be failings at times. But you pick yourself and continue running. You don't say, because, oh my God, holiness, I can't do it. And then you quit on the Lord. No. You keep working on all these things. You keep working on each aspect of it. If you are failing in one, build yourself up in the other ones and pick up on the area you are failing. Ask for advices. Ask for prayer. Ask for guidance. Ask for help. Every one of us is still working through this, including me, who is preaching to you this morning. There's an area in my life I'm not meeting the standard. But if you are watching and you are monitoring, you know, hey, there's an area that I need work on. Just like in your classes, you have 5 courses to pass, you are doing A in others, you are getting C plus or C minus or even a D in some. You say, okay, I need to work more on this. Pastor so-and-so, sister so-and-so, this is an area I have problem. As a young Christian, I approach a young lady who I really like and stuff. I say, dear Sarah, I'm having a problem. What is your problem? I have this desire towards you. She's a mature Christian. Say, I understand. She didn't kill me. She didn't throw me off. He said, you need the Holy Spirit. I said, what is that? He told me it is the enabler. It will help you. Ngozi is her name. I still remember her till today. This is what you will do. This is how to go about it. From that day, I started searching for the Holy Spirit. I searched until I was nearly, my foot was nearly destroyed. I told that story, how I was in a prayer group of everybody jumping up and down. I started saying, well, everybody have this Holy Spirit. I don't have it. Maybe if I jump up like them and start shouting, then I will have it. I started jumping, and then one lady with a hobnail shoe just punctured through my sandal, and the whole thing cleared my eyes. But the day it came, I know that it came. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it didn't come by accident. I desired it so much until I read the word. Piece of magazine of Kenneth Hagin. I don't know how God put it there for me. Somewhere in a place it shouldn't be. I picked it up and said, why do you look? Why do you search for what is already been given? That is all the revelation I say, given, yeah. So this has been given to me, yes. All I need to is to take what is given to me, yes. I pack my bag because if I pray in that place where I was living then, they will probably hang me the next morning. I know what I'm saying. So I have to travel that night to somebody else's house and came there in the middle of the night and say, what are you doing in my house this day? I said, I came to receive the Holy Spirit in your house. And that night, God vindicated his word. And I have never been the same till today in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we are saying here is things that have been proven as we round up. The nature of Christ. Love. Humility. Obedience to God's word. Watching. Praying. Coupled with fasting. Applying your faith. And holiness, without which none can see God. If any man be in Christ, is what? A new creation. Let's stand on our feet, everybody. God's promises is that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The ranks of the choosing, those generation of the righteous, one, must believe that God will never leave you or forsake you. In this your Christian walk, there will be many challenges that will test your endurance. I admonish us to fight on the battle to the end. Know that we are not here to stay in this world. We are transitioning. We are on pilgrimage. We are going towards a mark. But if we keep fighting, by God's grace, we are sure to win. Amen. Therefore, let us not drop the shield or sheathe the sword at this point until victory is assured. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. Let us not drop the shield or sheathe the sword until victory is assured. Eternal God, we thank you. Is there anybody here who needs Jesus Christ at this point? Who want to take on that journey? Is there anybody among us who have not given his life to Christ? I want you to raise your hand as we are standing and we pray with you. Gave the analogy of somebody who is getting married, they courted, they moved together for years, but until you say, I do, you cannot inherit the portion of the other one. If you are here this morning or you are watching and you have not given your life to Christ, please indicate it. If you are over there watching on TV or on internet, YouTube or wherever, you can take that approach this morning. You can take that, make that move. I made it years ago, and I confess today that that is the best decision that I have ever or will ever make. Accepting Jesus Christ into my life is the best thing that I've ever done. The best investment. The return is the whole world over and over, multiplied many times. It cannot even be compared. For the purpose of those who might have, let us just make this prayer. Jesus Christ, come into my life. Take your place this day. From today, I declare that you are my God and my Savior. I yield all to you, and I ask that you guide me on this journey, that I walk from salvation and transition into eternal life. That Father, along the way, though there might be pitfalls, let the Holy Spirit guide and help me, that I will stand even unto the end. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. God bless you as you have done. Find a church, find somewhere to fellowship. Get your Bible and start reading it. Look for people of like-mindedness, believers, and walk with them and ask for help whenever you need help. God bless and keep you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.